Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, a good God would provide a way that we could be known by you, that we could reconcile ourselves to you. And through your Son, Jesus, Father, you give us that opportunity and you give us that grace. We thank you, God, for your kindness when we don't deserve it, for your mercy when we don't ask for it, and your forgiveness, Lord, when we think we don't need to confess it. Father, help us to be more like your Son, and help us to be what you've always desired for your children to be. In Christ's name, amen. Normally I would say be seated, but you're already sitting, so we're good. So good evening again, and welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. An evening to come before the Lord in honesty about our continual need for repentance. Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent in our church calendar, which incorporates 40 days of fasting and prayer and reflection so that we won't enter the Easter season idly, but with sober hearts, fully conscious of how great a gift we have in Jesus. Now, this might sound a little crazy, but as a kid, I loved Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent. I grew up Catholic, and along with fasting and prayer and reflection, in our church, we would all be preparing for the season by discussing what we might give up for 40 days as a way of sacrificing something that we value and laying it at the feet of Jesus. So for some of my friends, it was their favorite candy that they were going to give up for 40 days, and for others, video games. But for me, in my youth, there was one false idol I thought I couldn't live without: soda. And so the question arose at church, what is the one thing that you think you can't live without that you really don't need to survive? And well, I knew exactly what it was for me the minute that question was spoken. And as much as I really didn't want to give it up for 40 days, the phrase that kept looping in my mind was, if Jesus Christ could die a horrible death for my sins, surely I can give up soda for 40 days for him. And so that's exactly what I did. On that Fat Tuesday, boy, I drank as much soda as I possibly could. And when Ash Wednesday rolled around, I quit cold turkey. If CVS would have had a soda patch for my fixations, I would have been their number one customer. So the first week rolls around, and I have the worst headaches in the world from caffeine withdrawals, and the lack of sugar consumption made me grouchy. But in my moments of craving and struggle, I would pray. I would ask God to give this poor 14-year-old the strength to endure. And I would thank him in that moment for not giving up on me when he faced his greatest trial, namely, to live the life I could not and suffer a death I couldn't fathom, all because he endured to love me. For the next 40 days, I found myself praying more and spending more quality time with God during the moments when I urged for a soda, and they were many. But soon, setting aside time for God came very easy. I just lost my place, but that's okay. And it became as routine as eating breakfast. So I just got up and started doing it without thinking. And when Easter came that year, it was the most joyous Easter I had ever experienced. The journey of sacrifice and prayer brought me so much closer to God. And I was filled with a sense of great accomplishment that I really could do anything for God. I really could give up anything for God, and I would be okay. So when the Easter service ended, I went back home, took out a soda from the fridge, and with everyone in my family looking on, I took my first sip in more than 40 days. Now, you'd think that after all that time, it would have tasted amazing, but in truth, it was nasty. This once irresistible drink tasted so gross to me that I gave it up for an entire year after that. So what happened? Well, In those 40 days, my body had a chance to recover from my lack of caffeine and sugar, and when I reintroduced it to my body, I found it repulsive. I believe the same thing happens when we give ourselves the time our spirits need to detox from the sin in our lives. When we sacrifice, when we pray, and when we repent of all the darkness in our lives, all the habitual wrongdoing, our soul can finally begin to thrive the way that it was meant to. And should we ever invite sin back into our lives, it would be a repulsive shock to our spirit. The season of Lent is the catalyst our Christian forefathers knew we needed as an annual reminder that without repentance, we will just be filling our souls with toxic garbage that will keep us from living out our full spiritual potential. So I'd like to share a passage from Matthew 16, verses 24 and 28. And here's what it says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Taking up our cross requires discipline and sacrifice. The discipline to surrender our agenda and our will to Jesus daily. The sacrifice of saying no to the things that bring us worldly pleasure, worldly security, and worldly comfort. But before we can fully carry out this command from the Lord, we must first take time to pause and to reflect. What are the things in our lives that need to be purged? What are the habits that need to be surrendered? Only you can lay these things at the feet of Jesus. Nobody else can do it for you. And what a great opportunity we have here tonight, a service that comes once a year to remind us that none of us are immune from repentance. None of us are immune from needing God's forgiveness, but also that none of us are immune from God's grace. And so tonight, while the ashes are being distributed and while Daisy is playing worship over us, take advantage of this special time to go before the Lord and take an honest assessment of your walk with him. If you need to get real with Jesus, he's here. If you need to purge yourself of sin, he's here. And if you are in need of the healing touch by our great physician, he is here, ready to receive you. I love this season. And Ash Wednesday ushers it in to give us a fresh start in our walk with the Lord. To prepare for the celebration of his death and resurrection, to be more disciplined, to pray more consistently, to reflect on what really matters, and to make the adjustment. I pray that you too will experience the same joy as I did on that Easter Sunday all those years ago, having spent this beautiful season of fasting, prayer, and repentance, drawing closer to God. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Again, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This promise is true, but conditional. We must take the first step. Amen.